Hammer, your lips are red. He's now unmuted. If you're trying to talk, Samer, we can't hear you. Or I can't hear you. Brad, do you hear him?
No.
Okay. Stand by. By the way, I have changed my voice on Mumble to a woman, so.
Sounds conflicted.
Skinner. Skinner arrives and is quiet.
Hey now.
Nah, there he is. I don't know what to do. We're all here on time.
Quick, somebody go referee a soccer game or something.
Yeah. Well, Dave did go get a drink, so we're not really.
I'm going to do the same.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'm going to do the same, too. I'll be right back.
I'm ready. Holy shit, is Brad actually in the room?
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Is anybody out there?
Gursk reporting for duty.
Arf. Speciesist.
So I've got all my trait screen up, and I'm ready to go with all my skills because I know there's not going to be any combat. It's going to be all using our skills this game. Skill challenge.
It might be. Who knows? We're going to see where the evening leads us.
And no jumping into wells. You see a well, stay away.
Death test. That was just a convenient, I think, we all wanted to go get a drink time.
Yeah, it was 1:30 and everybody was kind of ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Duck, you might be a little breathy.
Okay.
I don't know if you're breathing.
Let me move my mic away because I am not on push to talk, but since I talk the most.
I mean, it honestly, I feel like I'm giving you a chest exam. Like, I think you might have tuberculosis. I'm not sure.
Is it better now?
Yes, much better.
Okay. I moved the mic.
Should I fire up my belt sander too?
Can you hear me? Please do. Get the fan going. I heard somebody.
Yes. Samer, we can hear you.
You can hear me now?
Oh, yes, we can hear you now, Samer.
Man, strange.
And did we get Brad back or not yet? Brad went to get a drink too.
No, I'm here, man.
Oh, cool. All right. Everybody's here.
Yep.
So I realized I take really crappy notes because I was trying to figure out what happened last time. I ended up having to listen to the episode.
Oh, I could have reminded you.
Yeah, but we had that happen last time, and I went back and listened to the episode anyway.
My notes are flawless. They are completely without error.
Yes.
Is everybody on push to talk besides Duck? Because usually Samer is the one that sounds like he's recording from a shark tank.
Does it actually sound okay tonight?
Not on push to talk.
Does it sound like it's okay tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Are we gonna let him stay off? We'll put you on probation, Samer, and we'll see how it goes.
All right. Cool.
All right. So I did. I listened to the episode. It was actually pretty amusing. There's a lot of you guys do some weird ass shit, but I love it. So
you were listener number 7?
Yeah, something like that. But I didn't count as a download because I just copied it off my computer. But
are we still on?
Yeah. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Do you guys remember? It's been a while. Do you want me to recap since I just listened to it? Or does someone else want to recap?
Well, there should be some sort of critter mounted on the grill of our vehicle. Is that not correct?
Grill, back. I believe you have centipede armor in strategic places on the car. We lost Dave. Huh. All right. Well, we're not doing anything critical yet, so I'm sure he will join back on.
He knows he's in the back of the car.
Yeah. Oh, Dave is back.
Yep. Yeah, he bumped me out.
Okay. Well, let's. We'll keep an eye on that.
So I've got a glass of wine, a bottle of beer, a glass of iced water, and a dip cup. So I'm ready.
Nice. Classy.
That's a good mix.
And by the way, I have changed my mumble voice to female, so feel free to put all the female stuff in there. I will fully appreciate it.
And by the way, nice job, Pete. You're picking up right where we left off with the with the wife bitching comments. I love it, man.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we had a very successful encounter with a centipede. maybe not for Gersk and Watson, but they got out of it. And then once Skinner healed from his psychic break, he was able to staunch their poison, the poison coursing through their bodies. And I think we're all.
I'm sorry. Is there some reason that Saxon cannot be on push to talk? Like, why does Saxon get to be on all the time and the rest of us are push to talk?
Because I know how to properly use my little audio features on mine. So I don't.
Oh, that's why it sounds like we're all underwater constantly because you're constantly broadcasting like shit.
I was about to, it's funny when you were talking, asking how everything was, I was kind of, it feels something's missing. I'm not being berated by Dave the first 15 minutes, you know, on my audio. Yeah, push the
clock. Well, I think Gersk is making a move for the alpha position here.
At least it's not face to face where you get uncomfortable because I'm just staring at you.
Hey, I'm the one that gives strange faces, remember?
after a while, Samer's like, I'm accusing him of eye fucking me, and he's complaining that I'm staring at him the entire time.
By the way, I was texting with Will Wheaton the other day, and he said this is his favorite part of the show.
It is, you know, garbage time. It is the best.
Did I mention that I have a quarter bottle of my taint juice sitting next to me?
Oh, Laugh Rag?
So gross.
Yeah,
so gross.
Nice.
So
gross.
Somebody's got to drink it, Dave.
How did that line go? Like you ran off the right out of the butthole and dove into the glass or something?
Wasn't it like off a roof? Like
it was like off the side off a roof.
Into the butthole.
No, it was. I think it dripped off a very thick peaty roof in Scotland onto the taint of a man and then fell out of his butthole into the glass.
Nice.
Well, I don't know how many of you are on the Slack, but my boss is leaving, so we threw him a little going away party yesterday afternoon at his house, which is the best place to throw a party. And he likes the taint juice. So I bought him the Laughrag quarter cask, which according to the guy,
hey,
the
Duck,
store,
it's pronounced Laughrag, but whatever. That's fine.
Is it? Laughrag? I like Laughrag.
Nope, it's Laughrag apparently.
Laughrag?
Laughrag.
Is it like, how do you say Labatai? I forget, Labatile?
I say Labatai. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Anyway, whatever. I bought him the quarter cask, which according to the guy at the store was like the peatiest of the peaty. And I gotta say, I liked it, but I wasn't a big fan, and it may have been the four glasses of wine it had before it, but it was damn good.
I think it tastes better than it smells. I mean, not that it smells all that bad, but it is unique.
How many things can we say that about?
Yeah.
The first man who ever drank that is the world's bravest man.
Yes.
He found that at the bottom of a barrel somewhere and decided to try it. And that man is very brave.
And can you imagine pairing it with Limburger? That would be awesome. But
personally, I'm a bigger fan of the Irish whiskey. But like if I'm, you know, just for example, like if I'm hanging out with some buddies, you know, playing a game and one of them is kind enough to offer me a drink, you know, of it, I'm going to certainly, you know, be considerate and respectful and
say paint juice.
Yeah. And say, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate that.
And I'll make fun of it later on a public recording.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to be truthful, I made fun of it at the time. I made fun of it at the time.
I remember you making fun of it at the time.
And I also just consistent. Basically looked at him and I said, I'm sorry, I can't drink it. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
I tried. And then, I took a little
sip. Like Albert, Al and I definitely, we both jumped on it. We're like, oh, well give it to us, man. I'll drink that shit. There's alcohol in there, man.
I'll vouch for him. He did make fun of it, you know, when I did present it to him. But for posterity's sake, he did bring it up on the podcast again.
Yes. I will drink your taint juice anytime.
I would put it this way. I had the cup in my hand. Mm-hmm. I said that I had some concerns, and immediately there were 15 fingers on the cup, and only 5 of them were mine.
So. On the cup or in the cup?
Was it Brad or Alan that took your cup and poured it into theirs or something? I don't know.
I think it was me. I jumped on it quick. I'll take that.
What could go wrong?
It is.
I think either of them are capable of doing it, so I can't. Yeah.
Too funny.
Okay, so we're in the swagger wagon.
You're in swagger wagon.
And what are we doing now?
Right, you fought the centipede, and then you drove to where the big building was. You came up where you could just go right over the ridge to see it. You're playing Allman Brothers, and like you come up and there's like a swarm of hundreds of the tall aliens around it, and so you played Allman Brothers in reverse and came back down the hill, and so now you're sitting just behind the ridge where they can't see you, and you're going to decide what to do, I suppose.
I thought we were like, you know, we're out of here. I thought we were like heading to the big city now with our vehicle.
Well, you drove through the big city, right? Because you wanted that. So here, let's go. Are you guys on? Is everybody on roll 20? Is it just me and Dave? I don't know. You know what? I'm not even on.
Did we make it to the city? I didn't think we made it.
I'm in.
I must need to reconnect.
I thought we just left that little area we were at and then just hit the road and kind of headed in the direction of the big city.
Well,
we got
there was some pressure to accelerate the adventure. So let me show you on the large scale map what you. Pardon me. But I have to say,
hey! Should we all introduce our characters to the listening audience?
No, not again! God damn it! Just shut up!
Oh, please! I'd be content with you introducing everybody. I always like your creative take on things.
I can never get old.
Remember everyone's names. I remember everyone's names.
All right. Did I
wait till the con four years from now when you guys have to come in your traveler uniforms and your outfits?
Because it's the whole con is a LARPing con.
Speaking of, it's a secret LARP. Remember, there's LARPing LARP. And then there's the secret LARP.
Yes. All right. Can you guys see that map?
I can see it, Game Master. It looks wonderful.
Yes.
Very nice.
It's a staggering work. So the encounter with the centipede was like over here. Mm-hmm. Drove through the main highways, main roads in the cities. The road got kind of dirt roady and gravelly. This is a ridge line. You came up, you looked over at the building, you know, maybe a couple miles away, and said, "Oh shit!" Mm-hmm. So this is where you are.
I take it we're not going to go back and pick up Adkar.
You know
who? Who?
Just had to throw it in there.
We don't have enough fuel.
Well, you've got other. You don't actually know what happened to your other crew members, too. So maybe you're trying to make sure that you can figure out a way off the planet. Then you'll pick up Edgar. Sure.
So, Doug, did we see all those critters around the large building, or was it on the road leading up to the large building?
Oh, they're thronged around the large building like it's the stage at a Motley Crue concert.
Now, Are there three buildings there, or is that, I see there's three hexes. One has a big blood spot on it.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's like, it takes, it's like miles across. It's huge. It's maybe, you know, it's kind of.
Can you paint a picture for us with your words?
Yes.
Doug? without saying kind of or like.
Use your words.
A rambling structure about three stories high, but miles, it seems at least half mile to a mile in extent in both the X and the Y directions. It's not uniformly high. There's kind of bumps and vents that come up at different places. But on the walls around the edge, you don't see any doors or windows. Only on the roof, you see a bunch of vents and things, which is what probably you picked up on the scans that were radiating all the heat. And I said, like, it's three stories high, so none of the tall aliens are on the roof. They can't. It's kind of just three-story high walls with no windows, no handholds.
Does it look like they're all the way around it or just around the section that's facing us?
All you can see is the section that's facing you. Okay. Of course,
do we see a very large ramp in front of the building?
Nope, you don't see any ramp. And the gravel road you're on kind of goes up to like a open gravel area in front of the building, but there's no sign that there's any entranceway or something of that sort in the area. Just kind of dead ends. You're not on much of a road. It's like a trail.
Is there air conditioning in this car? Because if there is, I'm going to turn the air conditioning on.
You do not have it on. You can,
you're gonna burn more gas. That's fine.
You've got the windows
okay,
rolled
Dad.
Down, but
All
it's
right,
really hot. You can, you guys can try and see if you can turn the air conditioning on, although I don't know, I don't
do
know
me
that
to
it's gonna do much
I can,
good.
I can,
who's driving the car?
Saxon.
Yours truly. Okay. The man who could read some of the labels in the car. You want me to do a linguistics check and see if I can recognize anything that might indicate that it's some kind of air control system? Or
are you feeling warm, Gursk? You guys have rested and gained back some fatigue points, but you haven't really rested in a cool area, and the temperatures are still basically in the 90s. So
he is a dog.
I'll curl up and sleep under the truck when we stop.
go ahead and make a linguistics roll, Samer.
Okay.
And if you want to look for air conditioning, I don't know that it is. I mean, you're not losing any. You lost everybody. I took one fatigue point off everybody for the combat with the centipede. But
and I asked him to see if there's a radio in there, too.
Well, you already had the radio on. They're playing the Allman Brothers.
Yeah. Holy cow. Where the heck was this whole thing? There we go.
You don't see anything that you think looks like air conditioning, Samer.
Are you kidding me with that roll? That monster roll?
That's a bad roll. You went low.
I know. It is a bad roll. But I thought I had like a 15. I didn't even look at my character sheet. Let me see what it is. I thought I had like a fifth, pretty high linguistics.
Do we want to try to add a 15 to linguistics?
Yeah.
Do we want to try to observe these guys for a little while and see, like, use some patience and maybe try to observe them from a distance and see if they do anything different?
That would be a new move for you guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe Watson can watch them and use his xenology and all that stuff to try to figure out some kind of behavioral pattern.
And then form a hypothesis.
like as a suggestion, maybe when nighttime comes, they'll stop rushing the building and move away. Like maybe if we wait, who knows?
Do you want to move the vehicle up a little bit closer and then get out and then take it on, you know, like for example, maybe park the vehicle over here and then start walking this way, like up.
Yeah, there's rolling hills and trees.
Then look down on it and survey it for a little bit.
Sure, you guys could do that.
Yeah, I guess that's the idea. We want to get in a position where we can observe them safely.
Yeah, do that.
Okay. All right.
What if I used my psionics to, like, you know, use like to get one of them to hit one, another one of them with the club and kind of create a fight between them all and get them all to, you know, maybe kill each other off. And
actually, that might be a nice distraction technique if we do find some way to get into it.
All right.
What's so your range on your psionics, by the way?
What's happening right now?
You guys need to probably not that far. That's probably a limitation on that, actually.
It's actually a good idea, is what I'm saying.
Yep.
Yeah, kind of like the, you know, the, what is it, Lord of the Rings, where they get the goblins to fight or the orcs to fight instead of fighting them.
I do. I've got
another air conditioning related question. If we could get back to the air conditioning, I have engineer vehicle.
Okay.
Like, can I use that skill to try to figure out how the air conditioning system works?
Yeah, there is no air conditioning.
God, basically, it's an easy check for me to determine.
Is this like a 1962 Volvo? Huh.
Hey, Skinner. Is this a 1962 Volvo? No air conditioning?
Hey, Skinner, will you roll down Gurse's window and let him stick his head out?
I thought we already had his window down.
But does he have his head out?
I thought standard. He did.
I thought that was standard operating.
No, there were reasons this vehicle would not have air conditioning.
Okay. All right, so you guys want to drive over there where I indicated and then get out on foot and hike it?
I like the idea. Let's do it.
Okay, right. So you should know it's not, you know, you're going off-road, which is going to be not the easiest thing in the world. This is, you know, the vehicle looks like it's got, you know, a little bit of off-road capability, but you're not entirely confident that it won't get stuck.
Did you see that picture of the vehicle that I said we were in?
Yes, I did, but that doesn't mean that's what you're in. I mean, wishing okay. Oh, make something true, Saxon.
That's terrible. Yes, yes, and.
Yes, and no. Sometimes the GM has a picture in his mind already, and yes, and doesn't work.
I know. We can both understand that, Duck. So there'll be no hard feelings. Sometimes the DM will tell you no.
Sometimes. And sometimes the DM will get stuff wrong, like breath weapons automatically recharge you. And you know, that's just the brakes.
Too soon.
So are you guys going to drive it off-road?
Yeah, we'll take it up here if we can. If you say
right,
we can.
Let's figure out what you guys want to roll to prevent. What's the Panzer term?
Overland.
No overland, but what's it called when you get stuck?
Bogged.
That's it. Yeah. You're going to roll. You're going to do a bog roll.
Do we do the bog check upon entry of the hex or exit of the hex?
I'm going to make it upon entry. So, Samer, you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at your character sheet here real quick.
I love how we found this busted ass vehicle in basically like a Costco parking lot. Now we're treating it like it's our most precious commodity.
No, it's a brand new vehicle.
It's a brand new vehicle. I don't know. It's not busted up. That's what this thing. It's a beast.
We drove it over an armored centipede.
You didn't drive it over. I listened. Skinner killed the centipede before you could drive it over. You wouldn't have done it any damage if you'd run into it because you were going so friggin' slow.
The centipede did attack the vehicle.
It did. It did from behind.
Always the best way.
Samer, I'm not really seeing a lot of driving skills on your sheet here.
Uh-oh. Astrogation?
I mean, is it an astro van?
You figured it's implied that I could handle a car.
Astrogation is navigation, not piloting. Okay, you might want to let
tomato.
Let Gersk drive because he's got.
I've got pilot and contragrav.
Yeah, it's not really
okay.
Let's see. It's probably a dex skill.
I can let him drive. That's fine. I can give Gersk a quick little 5 minute.
You were driving because you figured out the language, yeah. And knew what the things were. But in terms of like skill for driving.
I'm more than happy to hand over the wheel to Gersh.
Well, let's see who would be best.
Take his mind off the heat.
Driving skill.
I mean, I would accept piloting contragrav at -3.
That sounds reasonable. We'll do it. Mm-hmm. What is your piloting contragrav?
13.
Okay. We'll do it. Roll on your... Put Gersk in the driver's seat.
All right.
Totally, you know, he's got his arm on the... And his head's out the window while he has his hand on the wheel. Tongue lolling out. Ooh. Guess what? Your car is bogged.
Nice.
All right, so I'll let you get to where you you're going to go one hex off there, and it kind of gets stuck in the mud and the rocks. So what are you going to do?
Can we observe the aliens from here?
Oh yeah, you can. You know, you're kind of. I'm assuming that you're going to try and you were trying to stay out of sight, so you were kind of behind a ridgeline. But if you walk up to the ridgeline and look over, you can see them. Yeah.
Yeah, so why don't we just walk up to the ridgeline and kind of observe them?
Okay.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, and I think when we started off with the mall adventure, it was in the morning because you'd stayed at the farm the night before. And so, you know, let's say that took – and days are on this planet, I believe, are 20 hours. I don't remember. But let's say it's kind of mid-afternoon-ish, you know, the sun doesn't go very high in the sky, and it's this big, you know, or small, actually, real bright white sun. But it looks like it's over halfway across the sky from what you remember from the previous days. So you're going to – are you going to just kind of creep up to the ridgeline and watch?
Yeah, like we're hunting antelope. Like we're going to get right up to the ridgeline and peek over the top.
Do the whatever the what was that? What was that show? In Search of – it was on next to In Search of. It was like the Wild West or the Safari show. But anyway
– Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
There you go. Damn it. You're good.
That was a great show growing up.
It was a great show. That and Leonard Nimoy in Search of Back to Back. That was like awesome. All right. So you basically, you know, how long do you want to watch them? So if you watch them through the afternoon, you know, occasionally
let's see.
Go ahead.
Oh, you go, Duck. Sorry.
I was just going to say.
No, I was going to say we want to watch. We'll watch them till dusk and see if the lowering of the temperature changes what they're doing.
Okay. So I'll describe. Like in the afternoon, you know, they just kind of mill about. Every once in a while, like they'll attack each other, a couple of them, and there'll be a big ruckus, and like one of them will die, and then everyone will go eat it. But there's still hundreds of them, and it's nothing like. Concerted, like where two big bands are attacking each other. It's just, you know, they seem kind of like, they're not like pack animals, or they're not like herd animals. They're just kind of individuals that kind of randomly go off.
About how many are there again?
You would probably guess what you could see right now is about 200 to 300.
And how far away are we from them?
Maybe a mile.
Are we right where we are? Are we here or are we here?
Let's say you're here. Yeah, your car is back here, but you walked up to here just to get a better look.
Okay.
And are we seeing any kinds of? I'm sorry, Doc. Go on.
It looks like, you know, you're looking at the building. You don't see any entrances, any windows, and they're all just all around it. They kind of mill around it. You know, screaming every once in a while. Just kind of random behavior.
And we're not seeing any kind of activity or changes in the building.
Nope. Okay. So dusk comes. Your ability, you know, you don't have, you know, maybe you have a pair of binoculars or something, but you don't have like night vision goggles or anything. So as dusk falls, you can't really hear them. They're kind of too far away, but as best you can make out, you know, maybe they, you know, some of them kind of lie down, but there's still some walking around. As it gets darker, then you start to lose sight of, all the aliens around the building.
Now, does it look like they have the building completely surrounded, or are they just on our side of the building?
from what you can tell, like, every surface of the building you can see is has aliens in front of it.
Do we see any part of the building that looks like we might be able to climb up it via rope or anything? Because I have some coils of rope that we could string together.
You do.
Yes, you do. Those. From the mall, that's right.
Yeah.
Never underestimate the value of rope.
And you said there was only, it was only, what, 3 stories tall?
Yep. Yeah, it looks pretty slick, and all the vents are fairly, you know, from what you can tell, they're at least like 50 yards back from the edge. Whether it's intentional or not, you don't know. It looks like it would be pretty challenging to try and get a rope up on something. You know, as the wall goes up, it just kind of rounds over onto the building, and then there are the vents farther on. You know, maybe you could try, but you're not sure your rope would be long enough to reach to like go around a vent, and it would be a pretty hard toss anyway. Climb up there, and the wall looks pretty slick, featureless.
I would like to try something real quick. I mean, it's just maybe it's the linguistics in me, but or not the linguistics, but communication specialist in me, but I took some of those Takfar radios. You remember? I picked up 4 of them for us.
That's right.
So while we're kind of surveying, while Gursk and Skinner are kind of surveying and pondering what to do next, and I'm going to play with my radio and see if I actually can pick up any broadcasts in the area.
Very interesting. Okay. So you're going to just kind of fiddle with it and see if you hear anything?
Yeah, just go through the different channels if there's something like that on there.
Yeah, sure. There's a dial with
yeah.
It looks like a TV, old TV channel dial kind of thing. Go through it. You hear static.
2 kids talking about homework.
why don't you? Let's see. Where is Saxton? Give me your comm skills pretty good. Roll on that with a minus 2, so a 13. You need a 13 or better.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh, you rolled a 14. I thought you rolled a 13. So yeah, everyone, like, as you kind of fiddle with it, you know, there's some markings on it. Your ability to understand the language kind of tells you, like, oh, these are, you know, these are different channels of talking, Takfar. But all you're getting really is static.
Okay.
There's, it looks like there's some, like, push to talk buttons on there when you translate them, but I haven't heard you say you could try pushing that, which you haven't done.
Okay. Yeah, I'll fiddle with it. Do we want to do the risk revealing ourselves? Is that even a smart? I'm not quite sure if that would be a smart thing to do.
Well, I mean, how would we reveal ourselves just by push to talk?
Well, if I push to talk and then I announce myself over the radio. If there are people on the other end, they'll be like, what the heck was that? Who's, you know?
Well, I think we're pretty much stumped at this point.
Okay. So I mean, I'll go ahead and try it. Sure. Why not?
Okay. What are you, you're going to push the button and do what? You're going to say something into it or?
Yeah. Hello?
Okay. No, that's good.
Brilliant.
Well, because I don't want to get
our military out there.
This is Rubber Duck. I'm about to put the hammer down. There's a bear in the air.
Yeah, I don't have an eagle eye. This is...
All right.
I didn't want to get all military on him. I wanted to sound like at least
this is Jack
possible.
Burton.
Very nice.
I should let Johnny talk.
All right, so Saxon pushes down and goes, hello. And there's a pause, and then you hear the static stop, and you hear a bunch of like clicking and kind of singing sounds on the other end.
Oh! Do I recognize any of it from it?
Well, you never heard the language that you've learned to translate because it's only written language that you've seen.
Yeah.
Okay, if it's like a Radio Shack walkie-talkie, you should have like a little Morse code thing down beneath
it. We did listen to the native version of the Allman Brothers on our way up here. Did I not extrapolate any form of the language from that?
And well, we were just kind of riffing on that, but yeah, you could walk back to the car and actually try and see if there's anything you feel like would
I'll do that. The GM is leading me somewhere, I think.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm doing a yes and because you guys are completely off the rails, but I love it. But you know, I'll go with it. I'll change the adventure. It's fine. This is interesting.
Okay. I'll run back to the vehicle and do a quick check.
All right. Do a roll on your maybe you want to get some bonus from someone who's got like engineering, either Gersk or Watson or somebody.
Hey, Watson, isn't he like the engineer in our group? Watson, kind of science.
I think, but Gersk has the.
Does Gersk have that?
Yeah, I've got an engineering vehicle.
Engineer vehicle.
Oh, sweet. Hey, Gersk.
There you go.
I motion Gersh over and everything, and I kind of explain him what I'm trying to do here, and then so there we are.
So between your linguistic skills and his engineering, why don't you give me a roll on a 12?
I rolled a 5.
Ooh, wow, almost a critical success. Well, certainly you guys find there it looks like what's kind of some sort of recording device or something, Saxon, you read the thing and it's like, you translate it as, and I'm going to do a poor job translating or making it sound like it's translated, but you know, for a overview of your new vehicle, press this button and, we will give you a,
OnStar.
Yeah, it's the OnStar system.
Nice.
This is Jenny. How can I help you? So you're going to push the button? I assume you are.
Yes. Although I give Gersh.
All right, you hear similar clicks and sing-song voice coming out, although you still don't have a reference for figuring out what they're saying. Although you kind of know, you know, from the description on the console that it's some description of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. So why don't you roll on your linguistic skill?
Okay.
And it with does like sound a minus familiar. 5. Yeah.
It does roll. Have the same sing-song sound that was on the radio as well, right? Let's hear. Yeah.
So roll with it's a hard thing to do. You're trying to figure out words from some very scanty evidence. So roll.
I did.
Oh, you rolled a 9.
Yeah.
Sweet. Wow. Saxon's linguistics are on fire. All right. So you're actually able to pick up a couple words. Like you're pretty sure you can pick up the word that they use for vehicle. Maybe new. What would be some other reasonable words you might pick up from something like this? Maybe assistance, right? Cause it's maybe it's like, if you need assistance, call, you know, you do this and this. So maybe you can pick up maybe 4 or 5 real basic words, one of which might be useful.
Okay. What were the words again? Like,
car or vehicle, right? Whatever you're in, you can figure that one out pretty easily. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Make a suggestion. I'm thinking like assistance might be one you might be able to figure out.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we can request assistance to the vehicle.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
right.
Let's do that.
Okay. So, what are you going to do now?
Yeah. Going to try and request assistance. You know,
okay, you're going to use your talk fire thing and speak that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you do that.
Okay.
And you hear more of the sing-song voice. They repeat. You hear them. You can recognize the word assistance. But then there's a bunch of words you don't recognize. But yeah, roll on your linguistics again. Okay. You're not totally sure, but it sounds like, and you know, just logically guessing, you would guess they're kind of saying, you know, okay, we heard your call for assistance. Where are you?
Didn't you say that there were some words indicating distance or something? What was it? Car assistance? What was the other? There were four words.
I forget what I said.
Oh, okay.
Car assistance.
I don't know.
No, I didn't think of anything for distance. But if you can think up a way that you could figure that out.
Let's see here.
Well, how about this? You have the basics of the written language. Mm-hmm.
Anything
you've
in
now athlete? Got four or five words that you probably know what the written equivalent is.
Okay.
So you can try and see if there's some sort of, if you can try and make a phonetic connection.
Right.
Right. Just now, real basic.
Now, can I use my cartography skill to help him with this?
Yeah, but it's not really, it's more of a linguistics thing, right? I mean, he just needs to be able to tell them where he is.
Yeah. I had a couple of the books with me, so I quickly flip through them and kind of look for a reference that might indicate some kind of distance or something, or at least. So.
Well, first you want to see, can you make a phonetic connection between the, you know, the words you know, what they sound like, and what they look like written, right? Is it a phonetic language? Which I don't even know if it is. Let's find out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead and give me another linguistic skill. Roll.
Oh, there we go.
Roll a four.
Ooh, there we go. Crit.
Wow. You realize as
Triple A is on the way.
Yeah, you come to the startling realization, and it opens to you in a flash. This is not a phonetic language.
Mm-hmm.
The characters don't represent the phonetic sounds. It's a complete, like, break. So you're kind of at a loss. But because you had a critical success, you remembered in one of the books that there was a child's, like, code language that might be something similar to Morse.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder if that might allow you to communicate.
Yeah, and that's it.
Right, so it's a mapping of kind of dots and dashes to the main characters of the language. And you remember seeing that in one of the children's books.
Okay.
I'm improvising on your critical success. But.
Sure. And if it helps, you know, if you're going to make a roll, I've also got one of my traits is a language talent in addition, which I'm at, you know. I don't know if that will help
talent.
Me.
Language talent.
Yeah, and I've also got electronics operations communications.
Oh, yeah, you both do.
I'm telling you, there's got to be some sort of Morse code key on those cheap walkie-talkies.
Oh, yeah, well, you've got, I mean, the push-to-talk, right, it squelches it, right?
Okay.
So,
you
know that you can do dots and dashes pretty easy.
Sure.
So now I feel like if you can send them, it's going to take some time.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, you feel like you can send them whatever you want, you know, within the limits of your linguistic skill. But you know the written language pretty well, so you can send them anything in the written language you want.
Okay.
So what do you want? What are you going to send them?
Let me talk it over with my. Do we see?
I just passed my electronic communications check too.
Good for you, Gers. Good boy.
Before I make
is it too much Saxon today?
Well, no, we're good. No,
I'm just trying to throw any shit on the wall and see if it sticks.
I know.
Before I make any rash decisions and call for help and something like that, I'm gonna bring it. I'll motion the guys over and kind of tell them what I found and everything. I want to have a consensus on whether or not we should actually call for help and then maybe hide off on the side in case they send somebody out to assist us. Does that sound like a reasonable plan?
Call for help, but run away if somebody comes.
You know, kind of set off in the distance. We don't know what we're, you know.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know.
Well, we have no idea what's going to happen when they come out, too, right?
Exactly.
I mean, are these guys susceptible to heat? The guys who are inside as well? Does somebody, you know, turn once they come outside into the heat? We don't know any of that.
It's true.
Whoever's on the other end of this radio, though, has a sufficient level of technology, and it sounded like, you know, considered from that building that we were last in, they might be scientifically oriented, you know.
Mm-hmm. All reasonable hypotheses. And where is our hypothesis generator?
Yeah.
Where's Brad?
It's awfully quiet.
What can I tell you, Phil? He's dragging ass, man.
All right. So, Gersh. Hey, Gersh.
So, laconically, Skinner chimes in and says, why do we even fucking care about this building? Is this building going to get us home?
We're here for the credits, Skinner.
It's all about the credits. All about the CR.
There is something below the surface that we need to get to. I can
now, what was our last communication with our ship? It was bad, right?
Oh, yeah. It was like
overrun.
Static, you know, oh, they're on the ship. Oh, my God. You know, and then dead air and then smoke in the distance.
Yeah. I mean, we've got a vehicle. I don't think we're not desperate at this point. We're still kind of adventuring at this point.
There's nothing around here that looks starporty, gentlemen, right? Am I?
No, you haven't seen anything.
Am I seeing things right?
No, you have not seen any evidence of a starport in your travels.
Can we make an effort to unbog the vehicle?
You sure can.
Why don't we try to do that? Because maybe we could drive around. Like, if we drove, can we drive faster than these aliens can run?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Why don't we try to unbog the vehicle?
We could use that to form a distraction to try and draw them off away from there, circle back around to get to it, something like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yep.
Yeah, let me look at the car here, because I wrote down some statistics. What's its? Oh yeah, yeah. It can go. It can. Let's say when you're on the good road through the city, you got it up. It can get easily up. You were going like 70. It can move.
So a car should be able to outrun a bipedal animal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
you've
seen these things move, right? They move at a similar speed to you guys, and this car moves a lot faster than you.
And I got some rope and some, a couple of those hard torches that we used to jam that door. I still got some of those torches left that we could use to wedge underneath the tires to maybe get it unbog it. If you guys want to.
All right, so you're gonna try and unbog. So describe to me how this is gonna work.
I heard my torches over to Gersh.
Well,
you guys don't hit the infantry guys, do you?
You should be able to, like,
Navy,
you know, dig it out of, you know, same, dig it out of the, you know, I don't know, is it like stuck on an axle or what?
Yeah, well, let's say you kind of went into a ditch and, you know, one tire's up in the air and one tire's way down in the ditch.
So we should be able to dig it out of there and pry it up.
Well,
we'll use Saxon Saber as a lever. It'll be the most useful thing it's done the entire time.
I think it chopped the centipede's head off, dude. Don't forget that. Although
after
it was already dead.
After it was dead. Yeah.
All right. I don't think you want Watson in charge of unbogging the car. Who's in charge of unbogging the car? Somebody tell me what you're going to do. I heard something with, like, glow sticks and crap.
Yeah. Is there any, like, logs or something we can put under the car, like wood or anything we can drag
in?
Yeah,
you know, there's trees. You feel like, you know, there's limbs, right? There's no logs, per se. There's no downed trees that you can see. But there's, you know, tree limbs that may be, like, that are downed at maybe an inch or two in diameter. You could,
and
you know,
so
kind
that
of jam
means
those
there
under
are
the
trees,
tires,
right? Huh? So if there are trees, then you could use Saxon Saber to cut some limbs.
Sure.
That would be appropriate to,
no, I think you
to lever it out of there.
That was a family heirloom, Watson. Not
grab enough brush.
Well, thank God for family heirlooms, because it's finally going to be used for something.
And we've got rope, too, so we could pull with rope.
Yeah.
Okay. Describe to me how the pulling with the rope action is going to work.
I will stand back and give directions. And Gersk and Skinner will do most of the heavy lifting.
Well, I assume I'm going to drive the vehicle. Someone has to maybe use the engine power of the vehicle to help us.
Sure. So you can just hop in and maybe wait for everybody to get going.
And maybe the other two guys can tie the rope to the vehicle and then wrap it around a tree and pull using the tree as leverage kind of pull it up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So kind of as a pulley type thing.
Right.
So while you jackasses are making a racket trying to unbug the car, I got my eyes down on the field there and the critters in front of the building.
Okay. So right now, here's what I have in my mind. I have Watson sitting there making smart-ass comments but not doing anything and directing everyone. Gersk is sitting in the car trying to get people to do stuff. Saxon's, like, doing everything, putting stuff under the tires. He's got the rope. And Skinner's over watching the guys on the ridgeline. So you've got one guy
there
on the rope.
You got it, man.
If we only had
I'm
one more character
to help
us out.
The exact point of application for force. Exactly where he should apply force to get the maximum effect.
Okay. You guys tell me when you're ready to try and get the car out and tell me like who's pulling and then we'll figure out what we want to roll. Yeah. Right now, not a good. It's going to be a tough roll right now.
I'm pulling with Zodani.
The Soleimani who trained with the Zodani?
Yeah.
I mean, can he use his psychic abilities to help us at all?
He's got the lifting ability of a small
strong.
Baby, dude.
I'm super strong, man.
Plus, hey, Gert, you'd have to make him mad, which you actually are really good at doing, but
Hey, Gert, why don't you give the Zodani the wheel and just get out here with me and just fucking muscle this thing?
You guys are all pretty, like, pansy-ass strength-wise. Although Watson is really pansy, yeah.
Okay, I guess we'll have Watson hop in the car.
Okay.
But I'm thinking the ability to drive helps because you can apply the acceleration at the right time.
I might buy that. But, Watson's strength is 8.
I think you're just getting at it to work.
You can just tell me when to accelerate.
Why don't we have Watson watch the fucking aliens? That's Skinner. Why doesn't Skinner help pull? And okay. Watson, all he has to do is watch something without running out and parleying with them.
We might be able to talk about it. We might be able to work through this.
You guys tell me when you're ready.
Yeah, Skinner, why don't you help us pull here?
I don't think Skinner wants to.
Well, what's going on with the guys out in front of the building?
It's basically nighttime now, and you guys are doing this all by flashlight, so you can't really see them.
I put a picture in the player journal.
Yeah. So Skinner's just staring out over the darkness.
Yeah.
The darkness.
Although, you know, watching the direction that the aliens were in is probably not a bad idea, as I think about it.
I think you got this under control, gentlemen. I'm going to keep an eye and figure out.
Sounds like Skinner's being difficult.
All right, fuck it. Let's just do it. Let's roll. I'm going to roll.
Okay. Just roll something. It's going to have to be really good. That's not enough. The car is still bogged.
All right, we try it again.
All right, if you fail this time, there's consequences.
Okay, no problem.
Go ahead, roll again. Ooh, the car runs over Watson's foot.
That's fair.
How is that possible? The vehicle.
Oh, you're inside the vehicle. Why don't
runs over Gersk's?
It's run over Gersk's and foot. Saxon's foot. So,
the vehicle's unbogged.
Yeah. No, because it rolls right back. Because you guys stop pulling and scream. You both take 2 hit points of damage.
Rolls right back. How's that possible?
Skinner's peering intently out into the darkness to see if any of this nonsense has stirred the beams down there.
That's a good point. If you hadn't said anything, I would have forgotten, but I'll check and see if it's
I'm here to help.
Don't give this guy ideas, man.
Did you see my picture I posted in the Player's Journal?
Player's Journal. Where's that? Player Journal. Nice. Yeah, that's not what it looks like.
That's our vehicle.
No. No, it's like an alien Dodge Dart, dude. Come on.
Okay.
All right.
You can imagine that it's that, but I'm telling you, it's not.
All right, so I don't see any movement down there, right?
No, you haven't seen anything. But,
okay, so I get up, I sling my rifle and say, okay, fuckheads, let's do this one more time.
All right.
Yes!
Roll again.
Who's rolling?
Who's rolling?
Is it Zani? Is it Zani? Is he driving?
Okay. Dave is rolling. All right, cool. We'll say... No, we didn't actually roll.
Dave is typing, apparently.
Okay, yeah. Typing the roll.
Because this is more of a strength thing, anyway, so let's do this. Come on, Dave. You got this. Yeah.
Ooh. No, he rolled a 1d6.
Oh.
That was Brad. But Brad's driving.
I rolled a 3.
You typed a 3, dude. You're full of crap.
All right, I'm going to roll it for real.
I'm going to roll it. If you guys don't figure it out.
I'll roll it right now.
Okay.
Motherfucker.
Oh.
Did we kill Petey?
No, but the car would be fair. It just the wheels spin and it doesn't move. It's still stuck in the ditch.
One more fucking time. Now pushed. Right,
we put it in reverse this time.
That'd be fair.
Did I really take 2 hit points on that last one?
Yes, you did. I'm not fucking around, dude. There's current consequences. This is another consequence roll if you're going to try again.
This car doesn't have like locking hubs or something that we're missing out on or anything like that.
No. Positive traction. Sammer's read the whole manual now.
Yep. Now weren't we originally going to request assistance?
That's what I thought.
Why don't we just do that? Because we're fucked.
It's funny. It was your bright idea to unbog this thing.
But wait, now we're going to do it without an escape vehicle.
We've got two broken limbs.
Let's retcon this a little bit. Let's go back. Whose dipshit idea was it to drive through the fucking rough areas and bog it in the first place?
What do you...
Wait a minute.
You were driving. Why are you blaming me?
No, you were driving at the time, Sam.
No, you remember we let
him
drive.
Oh, that's right. He was driving.
We let him drive. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was your idea.
No, I mean, was it really?
Are we gonna end this adventure being killed by a car?
We're gonna roll back and crush you.
Gonna spend the next 2 hours trying to get this Volvo out of the dirt. All right. Let's see here.
Why don't you just get some balls and ask for help?
Let's just do that. We're fine.
I do my little sing-songy assist. We need a
sing-song. You're going to use the Morse code thing, right?
Yep.
You still don't know the language, but you can spell the words.
Right. I'll do that.
Okay. There's a pause, and then they start to speak back to you in the Morse code, and they say, so what are you going to say?
I've fallen and I can't get up.
I tell them that our vehicle, malfunctioned and is stuck, a certain distance from the building and everything. I kind of give them a general idea of our direction and of our location and kind of give them a brief idea of what the situation is.
And the response, there's a pause, and then you start hearing the squelch coming back, the dots and dashes, and you write it down, you translate it, and it's like, how can you survive outside? Who are you?
Tell them we're gods and we've come to rescue them.
I indicate that we were wearing special suits, but, we are, due to our exposure to the elements out here, are in need of immediate assistance, and that I don't have time to discuss it further.
the answer is, let me think.
We come in peace.
They ask, are you Herschel? Which is the name, their name from themselves.
Mm-hmm. And I tell them we are not, but we are visitors. I kind of explain that we are friendly visitors, all right?
Okay.
In the best way I possibly could.
Sure, sure. Okay. There's a long pause. And they say, we will send a vehicle. Please give us your, please tell us where you are.
So we don't know the ordinal coordinates, so how are we going to give them the ridge line?
I can kind of, I can describe the ridge line and approximately how far we are from the
park. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds reasonable. They go, okay. They, well, we understand. And they go, stand by.
Now, they said they're called a Herschel?
Yeah, something like that. It's like Herschel? It's hard to say. It's like a whole bunch. It starts with an H and ends with a K. But it's a whole lot of guttural crap. But we'll call them Herschels.
Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker, yeah. All right, so what are you going to do?
Okay, I tell the guys, you know, it looks like I got, looks like I made contact with the, you know, with the, an alien present, you know, the people on the other end of this radio, and that they're going to send assistance out here, but I don't think we should all just be out in the open. They're going to expect at least me here. I didn't give them any indication how many our, how big our party was, so as a, you want to see if maybe Skinner, Gers, maybe you guys can stay clear. Maybe the Zodani, because he's kind of not too threatening. Maybe he can stay here with me.
I'm gonna top off my magazine.
Yeah, you guys can kind of sit off, maybe off in the distance and kind of, be overwatch on us as they come up and give us assistance.
Yeah, I'm ready for Urkel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if anything,
Herschel.
Yeah.
Urkel, Herschel. Urkel. We could call him the Urkel. That's good too.
And my, did
they do that?
My, I'll give you a signals because I don't, you're going to be probably pretty far and you won't hear the conversation or understand what we're talking about. But if I put my hand on my, the hilt of my, saber, that means I'm sensing trouble. And then you guys do what you guys do best.
That's not like
okay. So this is, so you got a plan. Mm-hmm. Everybody on board. Everybody likes Saxon's plan.
Sounds good.
All right. So you, Gersk and Skinner, find cover. How far away?
I don't know. That's up to them. They're the experts at that.
Well, I see that there's some mountainous terrain off to our relative west there. So
mm-hmm. You're going to go. Yeah, but like how far? I mean, there's cover. You know, you're kind of in a, it's up and down the terrain, but you know, if you want to see them, you know, you're not going to be able to get more than like 20 or 30 yards away.
Yeah.
So if there's a little hillock or something or some brush or something,
and
I'm just going to nestle
still.
In.
Yeah.
I'm going to nestle in somewhere.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, just turn on the high beams on the car, right? So then.
Well, it's pointed down into the ditch. So the,
yeah.
But you can turn them on. It might be a good beacon.
Turn on the hazards.
Yeah, turn on the hazards. I don't suppose we probably want to honk our horn.
No, I don't think we want to do that.
Unless we alert those guys down at the bottom of the.
Okay. All right. So maybe 10 minutes pass. And then you see lights in the sky coming at you. Looks like some sort of air raft type thing. And it comes toward your location and slowly hovers and settles on the ground.
Do we hear any reaction from the throng down there or anything? Do we?
You can't see them. You don't hear anything either, no.
Okay.
It's a pretty quiet, you don't know if it's contragrav or not, but it's not, it's whatever it's using to lift, it's not super loud. It's not like a helicopter or anything. Maybe it's a small reaction engine but you're not quite sure. I guess you could try and figure it out if you wanted, but it, you know, just the
quiet is all Skinner cares about right now.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Okay, it lands on the ground, and it's a rectangular shuttle-like looking thing, it's not super tall, it comes down, lands on kind of some landing supports, and then the side like a cargo door kind of opens up. And there's some kind of harsh, blue lighting inside. And it looks like there's kind of a, passenger compartment inside for, you know, the beings that are kind of round and short. There's more of those seats inside. But as far as you can see, it's empty.
We don't see anybody. Is there like a driving area? Like
yeah, there's a driving area. It's kind of behind dark glass. But it does not look like you're kind of looking in this cargo door and you cannot see, you can't see a separate entryway and, you know, it looks like tinted glass. So you really can't see in through like where the pilot looks like it might be.
I look at Gers and see if his hair is standing up on the back of his neck.
Danger sense.
Your danger sense is quiet.
Hmm.
Well, sounds good to me. Let's go.
Does Zadani have any way of like, indicate like, what's the word for what I'm looking for? Like
like a danger sense?
No, not a danger sense, but indicating like the presence of like other beings around. Empathy?
When we're talking about Brad's like ESP type powers or psionic powers, just think, could a baby do it? If not, probably.
You're right. You got a point. You got a point, Gers.
Yes.
He's got awesome, awe-inspiring
powers of... But the mind.
He can detect a poopy diaper at 10 yards.
I could lift a rock.
He can take point though.
He can use a rattle. He can follow light with his eyes.
But I can't really focus on it too much, man.
Okay, so Watson and Saxon, how far, so when it landed, you know, you guys, it landed maybe 20 yards away from you. So what are you going to do?
Hey Watson, I'll stand over here and kind of watch your back. You
thanks, man. Thanks.
Well, I mean,
how about you're the
Watson?
You're
this
the
is your
linguistics
jam. This is your jam.
No. Saxon, you're the linguistics expert.
Skinner's got his brain trained on the cockpit.
Go ahead.
You got it.
You have established communications. Continue to do so.
Have you ever watched the movie Cube? You always let one guy go in first with a
right. Which is you.
Didn't Watson already spoon with one of these animals? I mean, didn't the spooning with the alien help him at all?
Don't you still have a pet?
I'm the scientist. I will observe and make notes and then make deductions based on my observations.
Well,
you're the communications specialist.
Okay.
Gersk is curious as one of his disadvantages.
Oh yeah, nice.
So he's gonna get up and start walking.
Nice. Points.
Walking
you get
towards
points
the ship.
For that, Dave. Nice.
Mm-hmm. So Gersk is not going to be able to resist this type of experience.
Yeah,
so he's going to move forward.
Yeah.
He is a scout. Yeah. Plus, he's not comfortable with Saxon approaching it by himself. So
right.
Gersk is going
to
lope up. He's going to lope up next to Saxon and walk forward.
That's a good
All right. So Gersk and Saxon, as you get closer, you can feel like it's obviously refrigerated, like cool air coming out.
Oh,
you know,
I'm in there.
Definitely air conditioned. It feels really
Gersk
nice.
Gersk runs in and just curls up on the floor.
Gersk's step picks up.
Okay. Yeah, you run in and there's a wall between you and the front. So you can't really, and it's a solid wall. You can't see anything. But there's seats in there and, you know, the door doesn't. Nothing happens when you go in.
Skinner shakes his head, shoulders the rifle, draws the pistol, and advances cautiously towards the door.
Yeah, I slung my carbine, and I'm showing them open hands.
Okay,
like trying to be like
open
peaceful.
Paws.
Yeah, yep. Open paws.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Watson and Saxon, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm just falling behind him, doing the same thing.
I will slowly approach.
Okay. Nothing seems to happen.
Do we see any windows in the vehicle from the inside the compartment where we're going
to
be?
Yeah, no, there's windows. There's windows out to the side on both sides. Yeah, you're.
Is this like a limo?
It's like an Uber
divider, and we've got the wet bar in the back, or
yeah, party van. Exactly like a limo.
Are they playing Christian? Is there any Christian music going on? Is there Christian?
There's a whole panel of like. Latter Day Saints literature.
It's an Uber.
Yes. On a rack.
We're on an Uber.
I need some pamphlets.
Actually, I was hoping there was going to be a pole in the back, but all right, I'll take the ride.
As Gursk and Saxon walk in, and you know, maybe kind of look around, and you know, maybe Gursk sits down. You hear some clicking from the front in the same Morse code. Mm-hmm. And Saxon, if you translate it, it says how many of you are there?
You know, I tell them there's four of us. And I don't
really
wanna,
five, but just four.
Yeah, I don't want to give everything away.
There could be three if somebody doesn't hurry his ass up and get into the Uber.
Yeah.
Okay. So you hear?
I'm in.
So I'm assuming you're gonna like. You'll have to like tap that on the door or the door to the cockpit or something in Morse code, and you're able to communicate that.
Ask him if he can take us through a McDonald's drive-thru.
What, nugs? All right, and so where is – so Skinner, have you gotten on?
Yeah, I holster my sidearm and I board the vehicle.
Okay, so everyone's on. You hear a couple of clicks and then the cargo door starts to close.
Thank God, and we're going home. We're going home, boys. This
translates into now we have you fuckers.
It closes, and you feel the vehicle taking off. As you look out the windows on the side, you can see you're approaching the large building, and you kind of fly over the top of it.
No one can see because Gursk has his face pressed up against the glass the entire time.
And it's getting all steamy. And You see that there's a kind of like these hangar doors that open in the top of the roof of the building, kind of way away from the edges of the building, and the shuttle comes down through it, and then they close over top of you, and there's more of this real harsh white blue lighting. It's kind of like a little hangar bay, and the shuttle settles to a stop on the hangar bay, and the door opens.
Now the probing is going to begin.
And I need a drink.
No. Now comes time for the probing.
Oh, yeah. Let's get freaky.
All right. I'm going to get a drink, too.
All right.
Let's pause dramatically for a moment while I get more drinky. I'll be right back. Okay. What's happening?
The ambient noise sounds like a Pink Floyd experimental album.
Yeah, or it sounds like a fish tank. I was sitting there thinking, like, Dave's right. It sounds like we're underwater. It sounds like a fish tank, man.
What are you guys talking about?
There was, like, this bubbling, weird sound, and
Pete, you can't hear
Pete's
that?
Right. It kind of does sound like some sort of Pink Floyd, like an intro to metal or something, you know?
I kind of hear it.
Hey, you know what airs tomorrow?
I know what airs tomorrow. It's the Stranger Things 2.
Yeah, with the Thessal Hydra. The Thessal Hydra's coming to play, man.
I'm impressed. Good. You know what that thing is. It's the big flower head thing to me.
Well, the thing is remember at the end of last season, right? The mm-hmm. very end, like everything's supposed to be okay. Mm-hmm. And they're playing D&D again.
Right.
And this time the monster is the Thessal Hydra, right?
Right.
And that's exactly where we're going.
What they see.
Derivative. Yeah, it'll be some derivative of that. You know, it won't be exactly, but that will be the concept of it.
All right, so, I'm back, guys. I'm back.
Hey.
Super cool stuff.
What game were you talking about? Or was that a TV show?
Not a game. Stranger Things released tomorrow. So
I get a chub just for the Ghostbusters references, honestly.
Yeah, there'll be all kinds of great references.
All kinds of that
you know?
I love
yeah.
that stuff.
Yep. Good stuff, good man. Show.
We should get them playing Car Wars or Ogre. That'd be
Car Wars would fit right in. It really yeah. would, man.
It would.
Because I remember having that little box, you know, mm-hmm. you know, when I was,
with
I think,
the snaps. Yeah.
Seventh grade, you know, we played Car Wars some, so it's a thing.
Yeah.
Wait. What exactly are you in GURPS, org? Are you like the crew of an org?
In GURPS Ogre?
Yeah.
Well, you can be whatever you want, right? It's just a setting for a role-playing game. In the one I want to do, so the history of the world goes like this. There's a big war between basically North America and Europe, which is what Ogre happens in. And by the end of that war, like, they've started using all these tech nukes. And society just basically friggin' breaks down into, like, city-states. And some of them happen to be run by ogres because we've created these sentient monster tanks that have decided, hey, I really don't want to take orders anymore. But maybe I don't want to kill everyone. Maybe, you know, or maybe I do. So you've got these city-states. You've got, Gamma World-style wasteland. You've got, you know, GEVs that maybe work some of the time. And all kinds of shit like that. You've got mutants. It's awesome. So in that environment, you're going to get GURPS. Is somebody sapping that? Yes.
But
that'll be after kids game. Listen, so.
Kids listen to this podcast.
Yeah. Sure they do. All right. So are we ready?
Yes.
It's going to be probably a letdown.
Yes.
that's what she said.
I'm looking forward to a big disappointment, man.
Yes.
I'd be disappointed if there weren't a disappointment.
It'll be just like my Ravenloft campaign, all the build up for 5-minute resolution.
Yeah. We're not quite at the end yet. So I do have one other thing in mind after this, but I don't want to spoil it. So I don't think this will be the last session, but we'll play it by ear. All right. So the door opens.
If you hit us with a breath weapon when we walk out of here, make sure roll to recharge.
That's right. Make sure that it doesn't recharge every turn.
Yeah.
And if a character sheet has advantages on it that are legal, I'll let them play just because that's the kind of GM I am.
I'm going to get another drink.
No resentment here. All right. But arrayed in front of you in this hangar it looks like a delegation of these. They're aliens that you saw on the ship before. They're the saucer-like aliens. They're about 5 feet in diameter. They're like 2 feet high. Maybe their heads are a little taller than that. But, you know, the main body. And it's got a bunch of legs, maybe 8 legs around the sides. But it's a saucer-shaped alien. And they're wearing, you know, they have accoutrements, sort of like clothing with tools and things, tool belts, all kinds of different attachments. They obviously appear intelligent. It looks like, you know, the shuttle was built for them. And they're kind of arrayed out there waiting for you. You guess.
I ask him, what the fuck kind of society are you guys running here, man?
They look at you, or you think that, and they don't understand a word you say, because Saxon's the only one that can speak to them.
Okay.
Thank God. Yeah. Thank God. And
I will not relay that message. I look back at Watson and kind of look back at the end.
You make a throat slashing motion. That's a mortal insult to these species. They immediately attack. No.
All right. How far in front of us are they?
Oh, you know, the ramp has come down, mm-hmm. and so you guys are in the car, the passenger area. The ramp's maybe mm-hmm. 10 feet long, and they're maybe another 10 feet past the edge of the ramp, arrayed in kind of like a semicircle. There's maybe 5 of them.
Okay. All right. I look back.
Do you have any first contact experience, Samer?
Just Skinner does.
Just watching Star Trek.
I don't know that I want to know Skinner's first
just
contact.
Just when I was 15.
That's right.
That's called experimenting, Brad. That's not first contact.
Back in college. Let's not talk about it.
Just the tip.
I mean, I have traveled a lot, you know, and I guess along with, you know.
I mean, I think with your linguistics, you'd have some experience. Yeah. But yeah, tell me what you want to do. What do you want to do?
Or I kind of look back at Gersk and Skinner, kind of nod to them, you know, like to kind of indicate to assess the tactical situation here in case it goes bad, you know. And then I look back at the aliens and kind of make my way down while they're. I guess are they following behind me? Are they going to stand back or?
We'd have to ask them.
Yeah, I'm going to go down with you too because
echelon formation.
Yeah, I don't think it's safe to stay in the passenger area of their shuttle. If we
Probably not any safer there than it would be.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, the aliens kind of rustle around a little bit, but don't seem to be too. I mean, you don't have any idea what their body language is like, mm-hmm. but you see them moving, you know, maybe they're, you know, it looks like, so they're these saucer-shaped things. They have kind of a head, you know, you kind of see like what look like eyes, and you notice that they're all kind of, you know, it looks like they're kind of staring at you pretty intently, curiously perhaps.
Do they have any of those? Are they wearing any of those wrist bracelets that the others had on that
ship?
Yeah,
all of them have a wrist bracelet with that cube on it.
Hey, I look back at Watson and I ask Watson, do you have any of those trinkets, you know, on you that we had back that we salvaged from that ship?
Yeah, I just happened to bring some. They're right here. And I'm pulling out and hand it to Saxon.
Hey, bag of holding, man.
Yeah.
Well, I just happen to have one in my pocket.
So as soon as you produce that, there's more speaking in their language, which you don't yet understand. Mm-hmm. And then one of them kind of comes forward toward you, maybe in front of all the others, still maybe 5 feet away, mm-hmm. and starts kind of doing the Morse code on the ground, mm-hmm. and says... He's kind of like, what are you, and mm-hmm. where did you get that?
So I kind of explained to him, you know, that we were travelers, you know, we were traveling and we came across. I hand him the device, I give it to him.
Okay. So as you hand it to him, he kind of jumps back initially, but then mm-hmm. understands that you're not threatening him, and he takes mm-hmm. it from you.
Okay. And then I kind of explained to him, and as best I could, that, you know, we're travelers from another planet and that we came across this derelict ship, and, you know, and one thing led to another, and now we're here because we determined that this was the most likely origin of the ship, you know.
Okay. So you're going to kind of give him the whole story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell him that we came here to return these to them.
Yeah. Hey, you want to earn their trust. You never know.
So there's, the response is, So you found the ship. What happened to the people in the ship? And he calls it the long traveler or something like that. You can't quite make it out, but.
And I kind of explained to him, well, we don't know exactly what happened to the ship because when we got there, you know, the state, it looked like everybody on board had perished and that there was some kind of fight that took place among this other group of aliens, you know, that were there, you know, and I kind of described what the other aliens on board the ship looked like and kind of what the, you know,
Jesus, Sammer hasn't been drinking as much as us in these adventures, you fucking sandbagger.
I know.
He actually remembers what the fuck happened. That's good, so, man. So, good job, buddy.
So you, the alien you're speaking to, kind of gives you the word comprehension and then sadness. And then he proceeds to explain to you, that he knows what happened. He's like, he explains to you the life cycle of the Hercules, where, you know, their planet goes through a short, very intense heat cycle around their sun. And when that happens, and so it's basically 500 years of winter and, you know, maybe 2 to 3 years of really intense heat. And that's the what he calls the new lifetime. And, you know, as the species, as they evolved, what would happen is that's when they would reproduce. So the heat would trigger them to form and he comes up with a word that translates basically as young crazy eaters. Right. So these are the young crazy eaters. And then as the planet cools off again, they basically mature into the Hercule. And so it's just part of their natural cycle. And it wasn't until. Go ahead.
Nice.
Yeah.
For me, that just made it all worthwhile, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Hypothesis.
Yep.
Check.
Yep.
Well, so, and then a little bit of, you know, filling in the blanks too. So sweet, man.
Yeah. So this is like their Rumspringa, like for the Amish.
Right. Okay. Right. And so, and he talks about their civilization and like when they learned, you know, how to create, yeah, they have these long periods where they could actually create and they finally understood what was happening to their species and they took a step forward when they understood if, you know, they could keep themselves cool, you know, some of them would have to go and, you know, when they reached a certain number of these planetary cycles, but they basically live for thousands of years, right? But at some point they start to age and when they get to near the point, like they'll just take a cycle and they'll stay outside and then that's how new species come about, but they close themselves in and the young ones, you know, have no thought, right? They're pure eating and destroying machines. So after the cycle, they clean everything up and, yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Samer, ask him what the Long Traveler was doing. What was the purpose of the Long Traveler?
Yeah.
Okay.
I relay that.
So he's like, well, we understand that there's other, you know, we understand there are stars and planets and we've always wondered if there were others. So we sent the Long Traveler and, you know, We live for hundreds of years, so, you know, we sent the Long Traveler on a voyage to the nearest star, but from your description that it must have lost its cooling and the reproduction cycle happened, and it sounds like a tragedy, but these kind of risks are what they are. So the young ones loose in a small ship was probably disaster, and the crew was lost.
Very good. So we're definitely going to be putting a fucking amber zone on this planet. That's
All right. So where do you guys want to go from here? Like, so, you know, you're actually working for a company that wants trade opportunities.
So we might, gentlemen, want to talk about our derelict ship or what we assume is our derelict ship. A couple of clicks off to the southwest, maybe we can get a little flyby there, courtesy of our new hosts.
Yeah, maybe we could try to do a rescue, see if there's any people.
Oh, your hosts immediately, as soon as they hear there's others in danger from the young crazy eaters, they're like, oh, we'll send. Do you want to go in the shuttle, or we can send shuttles to the location?
No, we want to go.
I'll go.
Oh, yeah.
and let's also talk to him about, you know, trade opportunities, you know, things like that.
So, all right, let's do one thing at a time.
You know, we have pamphlets. We hand out pamphlets.
Oh, right. there's this guy, and he went to the West, and he was the new Messiah.
No, we distribute Imperial Sears catalogs to all of them so they can look through it and thumb through them.
All right, so they've given basically a pilot and a shuttle at your disposal. So where are you guys going to go?
Yeah, I think we should go check out the ship area and see what's going on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to run by Adkar's position first, or just kind of?
No, I don't think we need to. I think we know what happened there. I think we should just go by the main ship and see what's going on.
Okay, so you hop in the shuttle and give the pilot direction as he's flying. I'm assuming you take a couple hours, and you know you've got basically kind of handheld portable devices, so you're able to, with Saxon's help, set up some sort of basic translation program. So speaking to the aliens is becoming easier and easier. It's not maybe immediate, but you know, everyone in the group can do it. As you fly to the crash site, there's still kind of, you know, you come up on it. It looks like the ship, there's no smoke anymore, but the ship is, yeah, there you go. It's on its side. It's moved from where it landed. There's a kind of a big, gash. So it looks like it kind of started to take off, and then crashed back into the ground. It looks fairly heavily damaged. There's a bunch of the young, tall aliens around the ship. The pilot makes some, comment about, I'll send out the, anyway, he basically flies over and, asks you what you want to do.
Do we see the air raft that, you know, we had earlier?
Yeah, it looks like, the air raft was, the original landing site, and, it's basically, if you remember, they actually took parts out of it to try and get the ship to work. So it's kind of on its side, and pieces are missing from it.
Sam, you want to try to get on the horn and see if you can contact anybody on the ship?
Okay, Roger. Yeah, so I try to establish contact with the ship, you know.
Okay, go ahead and roll your comm skill. Don't spend a lot of time. You're not going to get anybody.
Okay. All right, no luck.
Do we see any signs of critters around it, or critter activity?
Yeah, no, there's
like
there's 5 to 10 critters around it. If you want it, I'll let you. You guys could probably just you roll, but and you fiddle with your communication gear. There's no signal. It's just dead air. Now you could ask I'll let you just pick off the eaters. I don't know how that'll go over with your new friends, but
I'm not quite ready to do that. I'm surveying the situation and trying to get a sense if the thing has truly been overrun, or
the ears are kind of milling around, but it looks like there's the entry and access into the ship, and you kind of see one of them crawl out of it. So you're they've kind of been in the ship for sure.
All right.
Now I've got skills as a jump drive and an M drive mechanic. Like looking at the ship, can I see that whether it's even possible to repair the ship?
It looks like, the damage, it looks like it might be repairable. Certainly it's going to be significant, and, if it was in if you had a full starport, you think it would be repairable. On a backwards planet, you're not sure.
All right. So Skinner chimes in.
You'd have to get closer.
Skinner chimes in and says, all right, Saxon, to tell our host that, I need to go down there and sweep that that crash site and see if our friends are there.
Yeah, I relay the message and ask him if there's any way that they can send a team out here to kind of clear out these undesirables around the ship.
Why don't we ask him how much longer the heat's going to last?
Mm-hmm. He says the heat's going to last for another year.
God, that's too many gaming sessions.
Anarchism. Yeah, do you have any kind of non-lethal way of me handling these youngsters of yours? Because I need to go and see if my friends are there.
You know, they don't have teams. You know, they just leave them alone. They understand, you know, that these things attack, and they understand self-defense. And he's even, it seems like he's okay, you know, because, you know, he knows that, you know, maybe they've hurt your fellow crew members.
Yeah.
Well, he would probably be okay with you clearing
out. They eat each other, right?
Yeah, okay, cool.
Cannibalism is part of their life cycle.
But,
but
he's like, we don't, you know, we just avoid them.
We don't judge,
that's
what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they don't judge you. Like, they understand that.
All right. Well, Skinner's all ready to go. It's like, I got to get in there and sweep mm-hmm. that vehicle.
And quick question for the pilot. Do they have other long traveler ships?
He's like, yes, there are others.
So we could conceivably take a long traveler ship.
Yeah, no, they have ways to get to orbit. But he says, you know, the long traveler ships.
It got that name for a reason.
Yes. I don't think you live to be 1500, do you, Dave?
Anyway. I'm in character. I don't know this Dave person you're talking about, but Gersk understands what you're saying.
Gersk understands, yes. He's like, yes, I mean, you know, they have ways. There's not a spaceport here, but they have ways of getting into orbit. And there's a small orbital station that the long travelers have launched from. And there's two or three others that have been sent out. They don't have any built right now, but they do have an orbital shuttle.
So is that thing manned or Urkeled right now?
Yeah, he says there's a small crew of like five or six of the Urkel that stay on the space station.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I need to sweep our ship.
So okay. I'm sorry, I cut out for a little bit. Do they have a space station in orbit?
Yep. That's crew.
Yeah, great scan of the fucking system, Captain Dipshit.
It was on the other side of the moon of Endor from you.
That captain,
or maybe
was
I just made it
on the dark side of the moon.
Dude, I'm yes anding. I don't know. I'm not trying to be consistent.
All right, so Skinner is very insistent on going back into.
He
the
wants
ship.
To sweep. He misses Dana.
I'm not saying that.
They hate Dana.
Gersh starts to whine and puts his tail between his legs.
Okay, so what's happening?
You mean I'm going to sweep this thing alone? Because I will if I have to, but I'm sweeping this thing. Who else is coming?
I'm coming with you.
Yeah, I'm just thinking how much help you gave us with that bogged vehicle. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. No live ammo.
So judging.
It's a live reactor.
Mm-hmm. Well, that... Are you guys coming along, or you one of us want to stay on the ship?
Nah, I'm chummy, so of course I'm going to come along.
I'll go too.
Okay.
See, part of the thing is that I'm out of dip, and I got a couple tins in the ship, so at least I'm going to get that out of it.
I've got a whole nother roll. Don't worry about it, man. Here you go.
Can we at least snipe all these guys that are around the crash site before we land?
Yeah, you bring that up with the pilot. He's like, he doesn't seem real comfortable with that. I think he doesn't want to be directly involved in killing his children.
You know, once boots are on the ground, it's fair game. It's all fair game. So
yeah,
let's just get down
there
and go.
They're going to attack you, and, you know.
Self-defense.
Yeah, self-defense is fine, but.
What happens during hot years stays in hot years.
The hot years. Yeah, you get the feeling, you know, it doesn't really bother him, but he doesn't want to be involved, right?
Now,
you're not going to gunship this shit.
Can he buzz these guys or something and try and scare him off a little bit with a pass before we land? Or
he says he's willing to give it a try. Yeah,
what does he know about their behavior, right?
Sometimes they're able to be scared off.
Can he land the air raft on the ship? On the side, on the top of it, so we don't have to get on the ground.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah, just hover right above it, and then we'll drop down.
Yeah, he looks it over and says, yeah, that seems like something he could do.
That's an inspiration point.
Well done, Gersh.
Nice. Gersh is getting all the points tonight. I don't know how I feel about that.
I just remember all my skills. I've got my skills
doing great. Good for him.
I've just got my traits
I think
up.
Saxon's doing great, too.
Yeah. So. All right. All right. Well, Saxon's winning. He's going to definitely get points for the linguistics. And, Brad, I'm going to give you points for being so magnanimous. And Skinner just gets points for being a bad
guy. I want points for just being here, man.
Yeah.
I'm fucking exhausted, man. This new job's working my ass off, man.
Let me just play with this little talk for our radio and see where it takes us.
That was inspired, dude. That was great.
That was very good.
Totally very, not very good. The actual direction the adventure was supposed to go in, but I liked it. All right. So what's the plan? Do you want them to try and buzz the aliens first, or?
Well, I think the idea of just dropping down topside on the hull is much better, as long as we know that there's access hatch up there.
You're pretty sure that you remember from your tour of the ship that there's access panels on the top.
I think that's an inspired idea.
All right.
Plus, Gersk knows his way around the ship, so we can probably figure out something.
Yeah. It's a standard Empress Morava class.
Yeah, let's do it.
Far trader. All right. So, the shuttle comes in hot and hovers over the top of the ship. It's a bit of an angle. And the cargo bay door opens, and it's probably about a 5-foot drop down to the top surface. So
this is Duck working up to a roll.
Yes. So what do you guys – well, it's working up to tell me – describe to me what's going to happen. You guys going to just jump out, or what are you going to – how are you going to approach this? There's no aliens on the top of the ship. Right.
As a Marine, a 5-foot drop from a moving vehicle onto a static vehicle is a child's play. So I just drop my ass on down.
All right. Let's see. So we should do some rolls here.
Probably.
Dex? Hey, how about this? How about this? One guy ties a rope to his waist before he jumps. So if he starts to slip, the people on the ship can actually help him.
That sounds like actually more dangerous than just jumping without a rope. Like,
I'm just worried someone's going to fall off the side of the ship.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, no, that's not. Give him enough slack that he can land in case he starts sliding off. That's a good idea. All right, does that sound like something you want to do, Skinner?
No. I'm a fucking Marine. I'm dropping down.
Come on, man. You want a fast rope down? Tie that shit to the inside of the ship.
Yeah, that's right. We let the rope hang and we can slide down the rope.
No,
There we go.
Yeah. I think better. Skinner would have those skills probably. So give me a dex roll, Skinner.
Oh, Skinner knows all about rope burn.
Skinner is the only Marine among you, though. I'll have to point that out.
It's been so long, I have to find the roll button. Okay, there we go.
A Marine who has seen things.
That's right.
Yeah, if you go on your character and you go to the attributes, you can just hit the little dice button next to your skill.
Oh,
well, I rolled a 17.
No.
Oh. I got this, fellas.
Skinner's like, hey.
I don't need no rope.
It's like, let a Marine show you how this is done. And trips on the edge of the ramp and flips in the air and falls the 5 feet, lands flat on his back, and takes 6 points of damage.
You hear Watson mutter "Jarhead" underneath his breath. In a very tone.
Skinner, you're
just basically stunned for a second, but you can get up after you kind of rest there for a second and curse yourself for being an idiot.
And he gets up and says, "Hoorah!"
Skinner gets minus 2 cool points.
That's right.
All right, so Gersk will go next.
Okay.
But Gersk is going to use the rope. Does that help me on my dex roll?
Yeah, I'll give you a plus 2. How about that? But if you roll a critical failure, oh, you're good. Yeah, you pass. Gersk slides down and comes over. What are you going to do, Gersk? You're going to see how your buddy is? Or are you going to,
He's going to cool off his paw burn.
Yeah. I'll come over and I'll sniff him and see how he's doing.
Okay.
Where?
All right.
You know where. You don't have to ask. The first nose poke is always to the crotch.
After you, Watson.
Now I'm going to try to help guys down. I'm going to try to help guys down.
That'll make it easier.
Yeah. I'll ask before I leave the ship. I'll ask the pilot if he wouldn't mind, you know, staying around in the area until we've completely secured the area and everything, and give
he says,
to return home.
Well, and if he says, if we can, why don't we arrange a signal and I'll come pick you up. What do you want the signal to be? Maybe we can do on the channel X on the talk bar.
Yeah, just tell. Yeah, I'll contact him on the talk bar device.
Okay.
That's my Strange Brew reference.
Okay. I'll go ahead and fast rope down.
Okay.
Ooh.
Nice. All right, and Gursk is helping you down, so you have a bonus. Yeah. All right, Watson,
roll hard when you hit the ground, man. Roll. So I need to roll?
Yep. Your dex is 11, I think. But you're getting a bonus, so just roll and we'll see what happens. You're getting like a +3 bonus with the rope and...
I got a 12.
Yeah, you're okay, which gives you a 9 with a +3 bonus, and your dex is 11.
So we're using a... Just so... help me understand. We're using a rope to get into the spaceship?
You're on top of the spaceship. You're using the rope.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You're rappelling from the you know, the short distance down the shuttle.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever the correct terminology is for descending via rope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is something that we could all probably do in real life, except for Skinner, who fell on his back.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mean it
unless
to be that hard.
Unless you've got 75 pounds on your back, and then it gets really fucking hard.
I didn't fall on my back. I fell on my coccyx.
Yeah, Skinner's like, I meant to do that. That's how we do it in the Marines.
I was just showing you what not to do.
That's right.
All right, okay. So I'm going to look around for a hatch.
Okay. You find one.
Okay, so I open it. We clear the ship. Now what happens?
Well, so you enter the ship, and the lights, there's some low-level emergency lighting, but it's pretty sporadic. And there's kind of like you hear hissing noises and fuel lines and all kinds of kind of sparking electronics and stuff.
All right, I've got my pistol in one hand and my electro whip in the other.
I'm pistol out also. But also, hey, Saxon, you should probably try to find like an internal communications panel and see if you can use the ship's internal comms to talk to anybody on board.
Yep.
Beep.
Yep.
So I should actually
it's possible some of the crew, you know, could be like hiding in a closet or something or something.
Alright, so Skinner has infravision.
Alright, let me
does Zani feel the presence of other beings?
The Zodani? He's not actually Zodani. I think you're making him mad when you say that.
Oh, what was he saying? Oh,
he's Soleimani, who was Soleimani. Raised by Zodani. Yeah. Right, so, and he's right. Kind of
however, he is an Adonis.
I'm so mad.
Hold on. Let me get the...
Yeah, the Soleimani are like the deplorables of the Imperial world.
Oh...
Aren't they like the humans like actually from Earth or something like that? Is that what they
are? Right. That is what the Soleimani are.
I had this kind of whole backstory in my mind on it, but I mean,
we can save that for another adventure.
Who gives a fuck, right?
Let him go. I want to hear Watson's backstory.
No, not really. You know, it's like at this point, I don't care. You know, fuck the backstory.
I guess we gotta do backstory at the beginning because that's the only time you guys are in the mood for it. So,
what part of the ship are we in, Deck?
Hold on, I'm
so many questions. I know.
Yeah. Once again, it's kind of good. I didn't do any prep, but I feel like it's going okay. But I actually wanted to bring up a schematic. So let's see, where would you guys come down? Yeah, you're going to come down, you know, the hatch that you find is near the engines at the back of the ship. So you kind of come down in the power generation room, and you could probably make a better assessment of the damage level.
I was about to say, Gross, take a look.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you roll on your?
You got a floor plan in the free
I've got jump. I've got J drive mechanics and M drive mechanics.
Yep, which both drives are in this compartment, so you can assess both of them sequentially. So just tell me which one. They're both 12s, so for you.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to repair it. I'm just trying to make an assessment.
I'll give you a plus two. It's pretty easy, yeah.
Okay.
I do have a picture, Sammer, but... I don't feel like taking that. Okay. I think we'll probably do a little stuff. I'll just use theater to the mind.
Oh, so wow. I made both rolls.
Exactly. That seems suspicious, but okay.
No, that's why it's good to use the character sheet though, because it actually tells you what you're making. I don't know why it's sometimes green.
Well, you had a plus two anyway, so actually you made it by a little bit better. So,
why are the rolls sometimes green boxed and sometimes red boxed?
Dude, fuck if I know. I don't know.
I'm just wondering. Okay.
I think the sixes maybe come up green.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Like the sixes are green, and maybe the ones are red. I don't know. An option. In case, I don't know. Hits and misses for some other game. Okay. So you are able to assess the drives. It looks like you think that there's no major damage to the drives themselves. The fuel in these ships is liquid helium. And by looking at the instrumentation and all that kind of stuff, and actually the there's lines in the fuel, but you can do some physical checks. It looks like, the fuel has completely bled out in the crash. Looks like there's been a rupture in the fuel tanks, but you feel like if you could, just get some welding equipment, and seal up the leaks, you could probably, then you would need to, figure out some way to get more fuel.
So then we would just have to transport 80 tons of liquid, star mass to the ship.
Yeah.
So are we in the engine compartment? Is that where you said we were?
Yeah, that is where you are. So the ship's kind of rectangular shaped. It's two floors.
Okay. I'm going to do first aid on Skinner. I've got a first aid skill.
Well, I mean, he could even try it on himself, but go ahead and roll. You have a first aid skill. Okay. So roll a 1d6. Is there a lot? Describe to me how the first aid that Gursk applies works. I'm imagining certain things.
I lick the wounds. Ointments, yeah, tinctures.
I first lick the wounds clean.
Of course.
Then I straighten out his fur.
Nice. Yeah.
All right, so Skinner, you heal 4.
And then I'm also going to do first aid on myself because I was down 2.
You've been stabilized from that previous injury, so first aid's not going to help you.
Okay. Okay.
Right. You can recover your HP by resting, which you guys wanted to get to the ship, which I think is a reasonable thing to do, but you're at 7 is what I have you at. Cause you got,
but you told,
after...
you told me I lost 2 when the car ran over my paw.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You're at 5.
So can I treat myself for the paw injury?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Roll for that one. Or you could have Skinner treat you. Yeah, that's not going to do it.
One good turn deserves another.
All right, go ahead and roll, Skinner. I think you're like a 15 or something, aren't you?
Checking here.
I'm pretty sure you are. Just roll it.
Yeah, I'm a 15.
Bum, bum, bum. Nice. All right, 1d6. And if it's no more than 2, because that's how much damage he was doing.
It's a very high margin of success there, Skinner.
There you go. Skinner's like,
just enough.
Good boy. And let me look at your foot.
Oh, your pad. It's looking a little scraped up there, boy.
Are you guys going to look at Watson, or are you going to just ignore him? Oh, who was no, the, he, no, he's it good. Was Saxon, right?
Yeah, Watson yeah, was
the star. I'll do first aid on Saxon.
Okay.
Gersh shoves Skinner out of the way.
Get out of my way, man.
My unguent first.
Yeah. Skinner's still
here
a
you
little,
go.
Yeah,
man, I'm getting the 12s today.
Yeah, roll a 1d6. I think that is the most likely roll.
Is it?
Maybe it's 11. There you go. All right, you heal those 2 points back.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Thanks.
All right, so where is everybody? Nope. Saxon, you're at full hit points, right?
No belly rub for that. Okay.
No, I do. I kind of pat him on the head and then I rub him under the chin.
All right, everybody, group nuzzle.
Okay, so I report back
scratch
to the guys
behind
that
the ears.
The engines seem to be in good shape.
And I reach into my pocket and pull out a treat.
All right.
Now Skurs starts zooming around the engine room, running all over the place.
Yeah, so let me just get a Skinner, you lost 6 and gained back 4. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're at what? 8?
8.
Yep. And Saxon, you're at your max?
Mm-hmm.
Just 10?
Yeah, I was down at 8 and then I added 2 back.
Okay. And Gersk?
I'm at 7 from 8.
7. And Watson? Do we know what Watson is? Did we lose Watson? Did he fall asleep?
I don't think he's...
No, I'm here, man.
I think he's good.
I've been... Or clever quips the whole way through, man. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about, Willis?
I think, but well, remember, Watson.
My hit points, I think, are full. I don't think I've taken any damage, have I?
No, you got damaged when you were trying to heal Gersk from the poison, remember? And then I don't think you healed all the way.
Oh, I healed that up. I healed that up.
No,
yeah.
You didn't.
Yeah.
Watson,
we were listening to the Allman Brothers, and I felt way better.
No, Watson, you're going to be at 6.
Well, Skinner has first aid. Skinner has skill in poisons also.
So yeah, I know. Well, he already healed him. The poison. There's been. You guys haven't rested since then, so.
Okay.
That first aid's already been applied. And
hey, I'm just trying to get all the benefits.
I'm just trying to figure out how we fast roped into a spaceship.
How you what?
All right, so how close
how
are
we
from the...
How we fast roped into a spaceship.
Yeah, so Skinner and Gersk start chit-chatting tactics, right?
All right, so how close are we from the engine room to the entry portal that's open there?
So as you guys are discussing all this stuff, the door to the main hatchway slams open, and a group of about 3 of the tall aliens comes rushing in, screaming at the top of their lungs, headed straight for you.
Tap, tap, tap.
Oh, wait a minute. Are we outside the ship or inside?
No, you're inside. In the engine room.
Okay.
So
okay.
They're coming from the main section of the ship.
Okay.
All right, so...
Roll for initiative.
I'm going to say you guys are surprised because I didn't get a lot of sense that there was a lot of guarding going on.
No.
Are we retconning this, though?
Yeah, what the fuck was Watson doing this whole time?
Well, no. I was forming hypotheses, but...
hypotheses.
But danger sense should...
Oh, yeah, I should roll